Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is D.D. Bridgewater, Memphis-born jazz blues singer D.D. Bridgewater, doing a Memphis classic, and Peebles, I Can't Stand the Rain. D.D. Bridgewater, 75 years old today.
So did you get to Mission Impossible, and how was it?
I did. We got to Mission Impossible. I had to sit through 10 minutes of small talk before they actually announced the All-NBA teams on the broadcast, but able to get that done and get some food in our belly and hit the movie. And it's okay. I do think it is among the least of the series. I think that came out accurate to me. It's like it's the longest. It's funny, the thing, each Mission Impossible movie is longer than the one before. It's the longest of them that might have the least action, or at least it feels that way. And maybe the least sex appeal. Which is the two like keys to those kind of movies, you know, your James Bond espionage action kind of movie. You need sort of those two elements. This is just real heavy on exposition and story and tying things back to previous installments and, you know, the real mission was the friends we met along the way kind of vibes and some of that kind of stuff. So it sort of got away from, I think, what makes those movies good, but still had some of that great action set piece at the end.
Did it feel like the last one?
They definitely left the door open. There's like a plot thing hanging out there, and like Tom Cruise is still alive and the whole thing, so they could be back for more cash. But there's only so many. I mean, this dude's in his 60s. There's only so many times he's going to hang off the side of an airplane again, you know?
Fair point. All right. So before that, we learned that Jaren Jackson Jr. was not did not make any of the All-NBA teams. Before we discuss the implications of that again and again, what did you think of the teams that were chosen?
I think the non-positional ballot really screwed over the bigs, not only on all NBA and not only just Jaren, also on all defense. We're like three of the top five players, first team all defense, were guards. And I'm sorry, I know Dyson Daniels has lots of steals. He is not as meaningful a defensive player as Jaren Jackson or Rudy Gobert or Bam Adebayo or all kinds of other people. And I think on all NBA, I think eight of the 15 were guards. And like, you know, when you structure a basketball team, you play two. So they sort of punched above their weight. And I think that James Harden, who was the 15th guy,
yep,
to me was less deserving, not only than Jaren. I thought he was less deserving than Alperen Şengün. He was less deserving than his teammate, Ivica Zubac. And I even think even among guards, he was less deserving to me than Darius Garland. So I think James Harden was a bad choice. Whether Jaren should have gotten that spot instead is debatable. I would say yes, but you could debate one of those other guys too. But I thought Harden was a bad pick. That was a name recognition plus points plus like the Clippers. Oh, look, the Clippers are like two games better than the Grizzlies or whatever, but they're also behind the Rockets in the standings. So I did like the Harden pick.
A lot of turnovers, not particularly efficient. And yeah, you can argue that two teammates might have had, I mean, Norm Powell as well was a, you know, had a, so, so that may have been a, when did they go to positionless voting? Do you know?
I feel like it's been in the last year or two. I think that's a recent change. Right. So I don't, I think it's just in the last couple of years.
All right. So he didn't make it. And that means he is not eligible for a Supermax. And so we have the situation where you can either go into free agency, I mean, either go into next year without a contract, knowing that still at the end of the year, you'll be able to pay him more and offer him more years than anyone else. Or you can go ahead and try to extend his contract this year, renegotiate his contract this year, and then extend at a higher number and then extend off of that.
Right.
Do we have a sense of the timing of this, when they can do it, and if so, when they might do it, and when we might hear about it?
Well, as people are probably too used to hearing on off-season stuff, nothing is going to happen anytime soon. like literally, you're talking about renegotiate, clearing cap space to renegotiate a current contract that is not yet a current contract. It won't become a current contract until the league calendar flips in early July. So the salary you're talking about renegotiating of Jaren's is not his current salary. You can't renegotiate it until it's his current salary, and that is in early July. You also can't make these other moves to clear cap space until the calendar flips. So nothing will happen, at least nothing official. Well, I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll reach some kind of tacit agreement about what they're going to do before then, and maybe we'll find out, maybe we won't. But nothing official will happen until July. And then at that point, you know, it's still in terms of even then there's a difference between reaching an agreement and signing an agreement. And since it seems likely that the Grizzlies will have to do some maneuvering to clear more cap space, the actual signing can't happen until after like whatever happens with that. And so, you know, if this is going to happen, I think there's a decent chance it does. You know, mid-July would be my guess, but it could string out longer than that.
Do you have a sense of the ballpark number they could get to with a renegotiate and extend?
Well, so there's a cap on what they can do with this because you can't offer him, you can't do a renegotiate and extend that creates a salary for, I'm going to say next season, but I mean 2026, 2027, not this coming season, but the next, right? You can't create a salary in that season off of a renegotiate and extend that is greater than what his max salary would be. Not his super max, because he's not qualified for that, but his max. And so the current projection would be like if Jaren went into unrestricted free agency a year from now and did not qualify for a super max, then his max contract under current projections would be about $51 million, and then you build the races off that. So they can't do even it's not the sense that like you can just keep clearing money and give more of it to Jaren. You can't exceed that number now. And so there's only so much they can do and only so much they have to do in that regard. I don't have the numbers in front of me. The current math on it is not close to that. But my sense is that to get to that number, that maximum number you can get to, I think clearing Conchar's money on top of what you have would get you very close. I don't think it would get you all the way there. I think clearing Conchar and Jay Huff would get you pretty much to there. And so the maximum thing you can do would be a contract that you would bump him to say 36, 37 this year, do a maximum extension off of that to get to 51, and then do a 4-year deal that starts at 51. And the total new money in that ends up being, I don't know, 250, something like that.
If you do that, you've got to pay people, presumably, to take Conchar and Huff, right?
Well, it's
maybe not Huff.
There's so many spokes on the wheel, right? And the thing I struggle with the stuff, right, about it, because I know it's too dense for a lot of readers, but it could be so much more dense than it is. Because there are so many spokes on the wheel. I mean, one thing you can do is wave and stretch guys. And so if the cost for moving off of Conchar's money is such that you don't want to pay, you can move off 2/3 of the money by waiving and stretching him. And just like, you know, you waive him and you stretch the money owed to him over 2 years over five in terms of cap money, and that gets rid of four of it. I don't think – my guess is that if you traded Conchar into cap space to make the money go boop, my guess is that you have to incentivize that. I don't think the Grizzlies should. I definitely don't think they should, and I don't think they would give up a first-round pick to move Conchar money. And so is it second-round picks and cash? And if the price is too high, do you just, like, wave and stretch them and then move Jay Huff and get to sort of try to get there that way? There are different ways to do this, but I don't think people are pounding down the door to take the Conchar money. And so I think if you're going to move him into space, you probably have to incentivize it. But I don't think the Grizzlies – I think there's a limit to what they would do with that.
It feels like the Grizzlies would like to do this and should like to want to do this because then you have certainty. And yes, you it may hurt your ability this offseason to make next year's team better, may get in the way. There's still other ways to make next year's team better. Honestly, mostly you're counting, I think, on internal growth anyway, and now you have them secured for the long haul. Makes all the sense for the Grizzlies to want to do this. Why would Jaren do this?
Well, let's flip it and say, why wouldn't he do it? I think that makes it it a little easier to digest. There's three reasons you wouldn't do it if you're Jaren. One of those is that you can't get a fifth year if you do it now. The most you can do on a renegotiated extend is a 4-year extension on top of the year that's left. And if you wait till next summer, you can sign a 5-year deal. And the fifth year in the way these contracts tend to be structured tends to be the most lucrative year, right? Mm-hmm. So you're talking about an extra 50, 60, whatever million on a fifth year that you can get a year from now, but you can't get now. So that's reason number one you wouldn't do it, to get the fifth year. Of course, you know, you're not locking in anything now. And so do you wait a full year to lock in the fifth year, you know? Right. And it's not like you're not going to get a fifth year eventually. You're going to be 29 when you go into free agency. And so it's more of an injury risk thing. Like, the money's probably there either way, but you can't guarantee it. So not being able to get the fifth year, the most lucrative year of the deal, is one reason you wouldn't do it now. A second reason you wouldn't do it now is if you want to take another shot at the Supermax. And so if the fifth year is, like, let's just do round numbers. If the fifth year is another $50 million, the Supermax is another $50 million on top of that $50 million, right? So if you want to wait and take a second shot at the Supermax next season, that would be a second reason why you wouldn't do it. And then a third reason why you wouldn't do it, the most conspiracy-oriented reason, would be you want to maneuver yourself to some other situation, and so you don't want to lock in because you're trying to create that path. Those would be the three different reasons you wouldn't do it, and they're all rational reasons. On the other hand, if someone's putting $250 million or whatever in front of you, and, like, you get, you know, 13 of that immediately instead of having to wait a year, I mean, it's kind of a lot of money.
Well, that's right. I mean, really the reason not to do it, the reason to do it is I could suffer a grievous injury in November, right? And I have my money, right? Isn't it? It's you have the certainty of having
that's the main reason. And you know, I don't want to speak for anyone, but, like, do you just not want to do, if you
just don't want to deal with
if you're content to stay here, and you just don't want to go through a whole season of people asking you questions and there'll be newspaper stories about how this team is going to try to get you and go through all that circus, maybe that's another reason.
Make
right?
it go away. And the other thing is, if you sign a contract, if you someday think you might want to go to another team, you know what you do? You just raise your hand and say, I'd like to go to another team. That's the way it works.
Right.
Nothing locks you in anymore in the NBA. You just ask for a trade.
Right.
So
that's right.
All right. Well, we'll see how that we could be some a saga to follow all summer long. Not the last time you're going to talk about this, Chris. In the meantime, we have two NBA series proceeding apace. The Knicks and Pacers resume tonight. Your thoughts on what Cat did in the fourth quarter and that series?
Obviously, big, huge game for him. Maybe game of his career to this point. I mean, that Knicks team, they did that against the Celtics, right? Come back and, like, you know, snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. I mean, all three games in the series, and it's funny, you know, it's been the road team on all of these, but I feel like there have been other series earlier in the playoffs that were kind of like that. Maybe it was that Knicks-Celtics, I don't remember. But all three of these games have been, I think, decided by 6 points or fewer. And so it's an evenly matched up series talent wise, and they've been tight games ultimately in the end. And you know, the Pacers like now are up one, even you know, and sort of they got home court back and winning two in New York. And so the Pacers are certainly sort of in the driver's seat with it. But every individual game, you know, in the series to me feels like a toss-up going into it. So I don't know.
And then the other one, it's interesting how who knows how the Grizzlies series would have played out. But it did. I mean, as you saw the T-Wolves pounding them in Game 3 and then losing an excruciating game in Game 4, but for Ja's injury, I can imagine it would have played out the same way.
The two series have been broadly similar in that Game 1, the Wolves didn't lose by 51, they lost by 30 or whatever, right? So the Wolves, you get blown out in Game 1 in OKC in both series. You lose by double digits, but not quite as bad in Game 2 in both series. You go home in Game 3, and you're absolutely rolling, and you're blowing them off the floor, and you have the energy, and maybe they've let up a little bit, and like it's all coming, it's all together. And then Game 4 ends up being a competitive game that you end up losing at home in a close game. So it's all the same, with the exception of the John Morant injury deflating the entire building and not actually winning Game 3. I think everyone believes that the Grizzlies would have won Game 3 if that didn't happen. I feel very certain about that. I don't think it's certain that the Grizzlies win Game 4, even if Morant plays. And so it may have been the same situation where you still lose a close game, and now you're down 3-1 going back to OKC Game 5. Like, I think if John Morant doesn't get hurt, it could be almost the exact same situation.
I mean, the Grizzlies could have lost by 12. But I actually think, yeah. You know, I know Ja was largely derided for saying he'd figured things out, but it was not inconsistent with what my eyes were telling me either. So all right, but they did lose, and I don't know. You're obviously they got an all world performance from the bench. The T-Wolves did, and yet Ant was quiet. They just denied him the ball, and Randall was wildly ineffective. 5 points. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I just think the Thunder are a little bit better top to bottom, you know, and particularly in terms of that defense. That defense can take stuff away, and it's hard. You got to be able to find other stuff, and the Wolves have done a decent job with it, but like they're just not as good. I do think, as I felt from the end of the series, that like the Randall Gobert thing, those guys have to be good, and they have to overpower the Thunder a little bit, and that has not happened certainly with any consistency. There have been moments here and there where those guys have been good, but not consistently, you know.
Was Jalen Williams second team, third team? What was he? Was he
third? I think he was third team.
Third team. And you co-signed. Obviously, he looked first team in that last game.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, I wrote this late in the season who I would have voted for if I had a ballot. And I don't remember what I wrote, but he was certainly in the mix of players I would have considered. Yeah.
That's funny. I saw there's some podcast out there debating, I think it's the Athletics podcast, debating whether this big three is Oklahoma City's best big three. And I think when KD is part of it, when it's KD, Harden, and Russ, it's a little hard to say that these three are the equal of those three.
One thing you got to remember, Harden was coming off the bench initially with those teams. And Harden didn't fully bloom into an all-star player until after he got traded. And yeah. So, but I think as good as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is, I don't think he's Kevin Durant. I think prime Kevin Durant, I know they're each one-time MVP winners, right? But I think prime Kevin Durant was a different level of player than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah. All right, Chris, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You can read his stuff over at the Daily Memphian. He'll be writing about Jaren. Are you ready to wait till July now? What are we? We're not even in June. Are you ready to wait from July?
I mean,
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Ready? I don't know if that's like the...
we don't have any
I'm
option.
Accepting.
We're accepting.
My gut, the more you talk it out, my gut says we're going to go through next year and he's not going to have a deal.
I mean, I hate to say it.
Like, when you lay out all the reasons, like, none of those reasons that Chris mentioned, I think were...
They're
like,
not unreasonable.
Yeah.
I mean, we started the show talking about P.J. Haggerty turning down $3 million. We're assuming that offer's real. Bird in the hand, $3 million. In the hopes of two things. One is... getting it off, telling an NBA team saying he's going to be, they'll take him in the draft, even in the second round. Or B, someone would come in and offer him $4 million, right? And we said that in the end, those things were fanciful, right? Those things were fanciful. And so, although I don't think it was some huge mistake for him to do what he did, he's getting paid $2 million at least to play basketball at K-State.
He will be making more money than he made this year.
It was based on dreams rather than actual logical. Yeah, I could see that happening, right? Whereas for Jaren, let's go through the three reasons not to do it again. One, he can get, if he waits another year, he can get a fifth year, as opposed to just a 4-year extension. And by it's not just the extra year. The money gets bigger every year.
Correct. And it's a guaranteed deal.
Two, he could get a supermax if he makes one of the three all-NBA teams, which he might well do. Now, you could argue it was under Isolo that he was not as effective. Maybe
he makes defensive player of the year.
Yeah, but it is not far-fetched. Until the whole season unraveled, he was firmly in one of the all-NBA teams. And that would get him another giant pile of money. And third, he's got the flexibility to see how a, let's be honest, kind of up-in-the-air situation with the Grizzlies, not his situation with the Grizzlies, but the state of things, right? This feels like, all right, they'll do this again. We'll see what happens. But the 2 years ago clearly did not go well for the franchise. Last year was, at best, a mixed bag that ended in very disappointing fashion. And so he can wait and see if I'm gonna, if this is where I want to be. And by the way, Memphis can still pay me more money.
Correct.
And literally, there is a cap. The most they can pay me now, it can't pay me now per year more than I could get a year if I wait. So why the hell not wait? The only reason not to wait is I don't want to deal with it. And that doesn't strike me as a real reason. Is Jaren going to be overwhelmed by the pressure of it all? I don't think so. An injury. Now, that's a real reason. If someone is offering you a giant boatload of money now, and you could, you look what happened to Brandon Clark, you know?
Well, and honestly,
now, you look what happened to Jason Tatum.
Well, look at why Jaren signed. Like, the real reason we are in the position that we're in right now is that, and Chris said this the day that they announced the contract, this contract is a very good contract for the Grizzlies.
It declines.
But it makes him harder to re-sign. But the reason why Jaren signed it was he was coming off of an injury.
Well, and here's the other thing. Back then, Jaren had never had a big contract.
Yep.
And so you want to make sure that
you get the first one.
That you lock in that you're going to be rich as hell forever, right? When you have that first opportunity. But when you're already rich as hell forever and you have big dreams about your world in fashion or film or whatever else, why not like become a mega millionaire as opposed to just a mega millionaire as opposed to just a mega millionaire?
Right.
Right. And so I already am rich. I already have, if I suffered a debilitating injury, I already have plenty of money. It's not like I'm going to be, you know, having to clip coupons here.
Right.
And so why not just bet on myself? I hate to say it. I'm not trying to talk him into it. I hope he signs. I hope he does the renegotiate and extend. But I think I don't think that if he doesn't do it, it's a sign that he wants out. Some will misinterpret it that way. This means, watch. This is the end. This is the beginning of the end for Jaren. And I suppose it could turn out to be. But it's honestly just a rational way to get the most money.
In the end, Memphis is still going to have the ability to offer him the biggest contract. That will not change.
But it will be nerve-wracking all year long.
Oh, yeah. No, it'll be uncomfortable.
And then if a loss happens or the season goes sour,
what's this going to mean?
It's going to be, what does this mean? So it doesn't set up, it doesn't make it for a fun, it makes it for a little bit more suspenseful season. By the way, speaking of injuries, Caitlin Clark out for at least 2 weeks. See that?
Yep.
So there you go. All right, we're going to take a break, come back. We got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Our man in Washington, D.C., Charles Fishman, joins us next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by our man in Washington, D.C., Charles Fishman. Charles, of course, is the author of three New York Times bestsellers. Most recently, One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon. Also a three-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing. And a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand joins me now. You did not see a movie over this weekend, Charles, but I gather you had You wanted to put in context what I said earlier, which was this was the biggest movie week, Memorial Day movie weekend since 2013.
Well, it's the biggest without taking into account inflation. It's the biggest ever. $328 million Memorial Day weekend, the biggest ever opening weekend, the biggest ever is $670 million. So we're not at the biggest ever of all time of anything. That was an Avatar movie.
You're saying not Memorial Day. That's just all.
That's just, I just looked up, how does this rank? Right. This Memorial Day is a kind of movie-going moment. Last Memorial Day, we spent $132 million at the box office. This Memorial Day, $328
million. Wow.
$200 million more. So we really wanted to go to the. In fact, last Memorial Day spent $132 million. Lilo and Stitch did $183 million alone by itself. That one movie did more than the whole box office last year. I have been to the movies in the last 2 weeks. What now? You will remember better than I will.
You saw The Accountant too. You saw The Accountant too.
I saw The Accountant too. Oh my God!
You didn't love it. Okay. You didn't love it.
It was so bad that I stayed just to see how bad it was, but my wife left. We saw it in a place where she could walk home.
That's
and she just walked out.
That's bad.
And
I like The Accountant.
And that was sad.
It's a guy shooting people. I didn't see the second one.
You liked the first one?
I liked the first one. I haven't seen the second one. Last movie I saw was Complete Unknown.
I would say that the most telling criticism is in one sentence of the second one. There's no accounting in the second one. There's literally the accountant doesn't do a single bit.
Accounting's not great video, great film. I don't think accounting is necessarily makes for a great movie.
Did you see the first one? The first one. Yes, I loved it. That's what was artful about it was that it was a movie. It was a thriller about anyway. There were a couple things that were interesting about these two. You know, the two movies. First of all, I guess in our memory, in our recent memory, one of the big opening weekends, blockbuster opening weekends, was Barbie and Oppenheimer together.
Yeah.
In fact, I think on that weekend we tried to see both of them. Barbie opened at 162, Lilo and Stitch at 183, and Oppenheimer opened at 82 and Mission Impossible at 77. So Lilo and Stitch really, really did big. This is the other thing that's interesting is Lilo and Stitch is less than 2 hours, an hour and 48 minutes. Mission Impossible is nearly 3 hours, a whole hour.
Much better value.
I cannot imagine sitting through 3 hours of car.
Jeffrey
chases.
Did. Jeffrey did.
Maybe I'll see it. Maybe
Jeffrey,
I
did
won't.
You ever look at your watch?
No, and I didn't even go to the bathroom.
Wow! Did you get a big drink?
Oh yeah,
you got the
and
big drink,
oh, yeah.
And you did. You go straight to the bathroom when it ended, though.
Oh, of course.
Okay, good.
Lilo and Stitch gets 68 from critics and 93 from viewers on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. And Mission Impossible gets 80 from critics and 89 from viewers. So viewers really like the Lilo and Stitch live action. And, you know, taking it from animated to live action, Disney sort of has a mix. Everybody has kind of a mixed bag. It's a hard thing to do. So there you go. It's nice.
You know who could
it's
do
nice
it though?
It.
AI can help in this way. And what do you want to tell us about AI today?
This is such a fake transition.
It's terrible.
Don't do
terrible.
That.
Please don't do it. He's criticizing. It was the worst transition. I grant you that. It was not.
It's like saying the word Barbie has
terrible,
an A and an I in it. What do you have to say about AI?
Terrible transition. I confess. I confess. You're right. You got me. Corny, stupid, non-transition transition.
Corny.
Go ahead.
Corny. Radio transition.
No,
that's
no. We don't traffic in corny here. And if I do, you know who calls me out on it? I already got Chris Harrington calling me out when I'm corny. I don't need you calling me out when I'm corny too.
Yeah, and I don't have his credibility.
That's true.
So we should really talk more about AI and machine learning than we do.
Yeah,
it's really changing people's lives. My wife recently had to write a memo for something. Newspaper people don't write very many memos. And she made me teach her how to use ChatGPT just so she didn't have to write the memo. And ChatGPT wrote the memo literally faster than you can read it, in less than 15 seconds.
Did it do the job?
She had to edit it, but it did the job beautifully. There are two, but text is so 2023. AI is doing video recreations now. And there have been two sort of fascinating, amazing, hypnotic, disturbing ones in just the last week or 10 days. Agatha Christie, the great mystery writer, mm-hmm. who died in 1976, 49 years ago, is teaching a course in how to be a good mystery writer, what the key to good writing and good mystery writing is, through something called BBC Maestro, which is a part of the BBC in the UK. BBC Maestro is a subscription educational platform, and with the blessing, of course, of the estate of Agatha Christie and her grandson, four Agatha Christie scholars combed through all of her writing, all of her speeches, all of her recordings and video and audio, and they have her teaching a course in writing using only her words, only sentences that she has, in fact, at some point uttered, but in her voice, recreated.
That's creepy as using, hell. She's dead.
I got to say, my visceral reaction in reading about it and hearing about it on the radio was that even with the blessing of the grandson, that seems two and four scholars.
Yeah, it's not the blessing. It's the cash grab of the grandson.
Then he doesn't need a cash grab, my friend.
Okay. Everyone needs more cash grab on any given moment. There seems to be no limit to greed, man. There's no limit to greed.
I'm an author for a living, and in any given 24 hours, I'm sure Agatha Christie, 49 years dead.
Anyway, all right, what were you going to say?
I've ever sold.
Then you watched it.
Anyway, okay. I watched the preview video, which Jeffrey is going to tweet out now.
Okay.
It's remarkable. It is so persuasive. It is, it's just entrancing isn't the right word. You just want to hear Agatha Christie keep talking about what it takes to write a good mystery, what her process was, how she felt about, you know, work. It's amazingly done.
Well, they're bringing her back to life and making her relevance and increasing the reach and relevance of Agatha Christie.
The key here is literally not one sentence that she didn't actually say.
Right.
So it's the presentation is kind of theatrical and manipulated. Is it any different than those one person Broadway shows of Mark Twain or Harry Truman, right?
Pete Pranica did Mark Twain for the Tennessee Shakespeare Company.
Mark Twain, right? So So those are beautiful, or Lincoln. We love them. We're not confused about whether that is Lincoln. So this is a little stranger. I'll tell you one that gave me even more pause. I don't think this was last week. I think it was the week before. In criminal court in Phoenix, Arizona, in Maricopa County Court, a man had been killed in a road rage incident, Christopher Pelkey, back in November 2021, and the man who killed him was being sentenced. And at sentencing, in most criminal courts now, you're permitted to enter into evidence what's called victim impact statements.
Yeah.
If somebody was robbed, if somebody was raped, if somebody was murdered, yeah. What is the impact on either that person or the people around them?
Yeah.
And Christopher Pelkey's sister, Stacey Wales, was sort of wrestling with how her attorney told her, the victim's attorney said, just try and bring your brother to life in your statement. You get up, you sit in the witness stand, and you say, this is the impact that this death had on me. She's the sister. You can imagine the wife or the children. That's all very yeah. heartfelt. It's part of the sentencing process. She worked with her husband, who's a computer scientist, computer engineer, and they did an AI video of her brother, which was entered into evidence at the sentencing 10 days ago in Maricopa County Court. He's dead, and he spoke to the court. And again, I watched it. I think that's a little more.
But you can imagine showing a video of a brother. This is who he was. This is what right. was taking from us, whatever else. You can right. imagine
here
that.
Here he is
right?
playing with his daughter. Here,
yeah,
he, is
here he is
fishing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
right. This was a recreation with a statement that she wrote every word of. It was the opposite of
oh, really? They weren't even words that he'd written. She just had him doing this.
No. Like, in fact, she has him saying, I believe in forgiveness, and I believe in the God of forgiveness. And she herself said, I don't want to forgive the guy who did this, but I believe my brother would.
Wow.
But,
so it was
so,
going
so
to the defense
of the
first
time.
Uh-huh.
It's the first time a victim has spoken from the dead using AI in a U.S. court as a victim impact statement. Kind of controversial, right? Kind of controversial. But it didn't have anything to do with whether the man was found guilty or not guilty. Now, his attorney has filed a notice of appeal saying that this, the judge welcomed it, but the attorney did not object at the time, but I don't know that the attorney for the guy who did it had been notified in advance, but he's now filed an appeal saying you shouldn't be allowed to enter
fiction. One thing we did not get to last week, also controversial. How about that for a transition? Also controversial, Air Force One. We didn't get to Air Force One last week. Weirdly enough, I was reading about this. There are those who tell me that it will actually cost more and take longer. Not tell me, but...
You've been plunging into the engineer.
Someone that may take longer and be more expensive to refit this thing than it would be to build the... Tell me what happened with the free plane.
Well, here's what's going on. The current first of all, there are two planes that function as Air Force One at all times.
Okay.
They're identical. And that's so one can be down for maintenance, or if something happens, we have a backup.
Yeah.
The two planes right now went into service in 1990. So they look beautiful. They're beautifully appointed. Each of them is 35 years old. That's crazy. They're very hard to maintain. By the way, Boeing doesn't make 747s anymore. So you're using spare parts, you know, there's a flow of spare parts, but they don't even make the plane anymore. And the next ones are also going to be 747s. So during the first Trump administration, we signed a contract with Boeing to get the new 747s. That was in 2018. Those planes are going to cost $3.9 billion,
and that's when they still made. That's when they were still making 747s.
Right,
okay,
right. Yeah. And they're making these two, obviously.
Right.
A typical 747, top of the line from Boeing for an airline, costs $500 million. So each of these is four times as expensive as an off the line. But the real problem is, it's 2025, and they're not finished. And Boeing has said they may not be finished in this Trump administration, which means we've already gone 7 years and we may go four more years to get two planes.
Which is ridiculous.
So that's both ridiculous and Donald Trump doesn't like that kind of delay at all. Just for the record, the part of the problem is that everybody who works on Air Force One when it's in the factory needs a security clearance because the plane is so hardened and so sophisticated and has so much secret stuff that you even the people putting the wiring in have security clearances, and it's hard to get enough people to meet the security clearance standards and also who are skilled technicians. Donald Trump went looking for a solution, and Qatar had this, I think it's a 9-year-old 747 they were looking to get rid of. To be honest, no one wanted to buy it. Donald Trump acts like this is this incredible gift. They've had it on the market for months and no one wanted to buy it. And they heard he was interested. So they flew this 747 to West Palm Beach just so he could look at it. He acts like it was there and he toured it, but they actually flew it there so that he would tour it. And they originally thought he was going to buy it. We were going to buy it. And in the end, he said, they said that through channels between the White House and Qatar, they said they wanted it to be a gift. And so the Qataris said, well, okay, I guess it could be a gift. Let's be honest. The whole thing is just weird. First of all, if you're going to make it into true Air Force One, it will take longer to upfit than the ones that are under construction. He wants to start using it at the end of this year. What he loved about it is that it's opulent inside. It looks like the Qatari.
But if everybody needs a security clearance to work on the ones that whatever, no one with a security clearance worked on this one. You would think that would be a red flag.
There's a whole separate set of problems, which is that there could be listening devices planted throughout this plane. And we all know now that a listening device can literally be the size of the head of a pin. How would you ever find them? Wouldn't it be the Qatar? Donald Trump himself denounced the Qataris as supporters of Hamas, as terrorism in the first term. Now he's taking a free plane from them. But also, if it's going to be used outside the U.S., it has to be hardened in ways that will take as long or longer than the ones that are under construction. Also, we shouldn't, like, the president of South Africa met with Donald Trump last week. And the conversation wasn't going that well.
No.
And the president of South Africa laughed and said, I wish I had a jet plane to give you, Mr. President. So it's already become the standard for bribing the president of the United States. So it to me, it's just completely unseemly.
I thought you used to have a world where you couldn't accept things over $200, over $1,000 or whatever else.
Article 1, it's $25. Article 1, Section 9. No person holding any office of trust in the United States shall, without the consent of Congress, accept any present, emolument, office, title of any kind, whatever, from any king, prince, or foreign head of state. I think this counts as a present from a king. So it was not approved by Congress.
Listen, hold on. This is going to be a whole segment of corny transitions. You know what would be a good present? Some beef.
To any of us.
Yeah, this is to the next subject.
At this moment. Why would it be a good present?
Can you tell me why? You tell me why. This is the transition to tell me. Well, moving on to the next topic.
You know why it would be a good present?
Why?
Because the price of beef in America right now is the highest it's ever been. $6 for a pound of ground chuck over the weekend of Memorial Day. So there's a lot of reasons for this. One reason is that the total cattle herd in America is the lowest it's been since 1951. There are fewer cows being raised for food in America than at any time. That is literally, 70
and there's more people.
4 years ago.
More people. Left fewer cows.
In 1951?
Seems like a bad recipe.
I would bet you that the population of the United States has doubled since 1951. Let's check.
But we didn't have impossible beef then.
Yeah, impossible beef is turning out to unfortunately live up to its name. Yes, the population of the U.S. in 1951 was 154 million. Doubling that.
Okay,
would
why
be,
did Texas get rid of the cows? Why no cows in Texas?
Now the good news is that the typical cow weighs 40% more. So there's more cows. But anyway, we are not, the price is not discouraging us. We are also near an all-time high of beef consumption. We're importing beef. We're also turning dairy cows into ground beef. That's kind of weird.
That's a sad development for dairy cows. We didn't get to so many things. We didn't get to...
There's so much stuff to talk about. What tyrannosauruses eat.
No, we didn't get the pennies. We didn't get the pennies or dimes. We got both pennies and dimes.
I think we need a second segment this week.
Tell Jason and John we're clearing the way. Yes, we're going to keep going. No, thanks, Charles. Appreciate it. Back next week.
All right, just take their time.
Just going to keep going. Manifest destiny, baby. Jeffrey, what's coming up next?
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Jessica Benson, Jason Fitz scheduled to join their program. Tim Murray will join us. Brett McMurphy going to join us during hour number two. It is Tuesday, so Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, buddy. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow for Now Work's Done.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave Butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.